Amen. 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 We give God praise and glory this morning. Once again, I don't think it can be said too much, but we just want to thank God for the mothers who are here today. It is a blessing to celebrate you. And we want you to know that you are very well loved. Amen. Amen. And the truth of the matter is we couldn't be here without you.
Amen.
Amen. And God made it that way.
Amen.
He said, Paul speaking to Timothy said that the women would be saved through childbearing because
that's
of the
right.
fact. In other words, even though there was a problem back there in the beginning, and it was introduced as the devil introduced sin into mankind by deceiving the woman. He said that she will be saved through childbearing.
Yeah.
So God gave her an important role, an extremely important role, and we're going to take a moment just to look at that today.
Yeah.
Y'all know we've talked about this in many other settings before, but we want to go today and talk about just a few things that pertain to some important features of a mother, amen, which is the topic for our message today. So I'm going to invite you to just listen and read. If you wish, you may read with us a few verses from the Proverbs. And I'll try not to be long with you. I know y'all want to take mom out and wine and dine her, take her to dinner and kind of rejoice in her. And I know some of us just like to have a quiet day or whatever it is that you desire to do. So we don't want to take you too long here if we don't have to today. But it is an interesting topic. And I want to call your attention to just two verses from Proverbs, the first chapter. And this is in what is known as the wisdom literature in the Bible that comprise certain books, and Proverbs being one of them. And we're going to look at verses 1, chapter 1, verse 1 and 7 and 8. We're just going to single those two verses out of that first chapter. Then in the New Testament, I'd like to have you look at 2 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, as some people call in the first chapter, the first 7 verses. Amen. So let's read these and then we'll talk about it. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Amen. Just those two verses from King Solomon, and we'll talk a little bit more about him in just a minute. New Testament scripture, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 1 to 7, Paul writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. Let's read. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that also in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. That's 2 Timothy chapter number 1, the first 7 verses. You may be seated in the sanctuary, and may God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. And I just want to say this. It's always interesting every year because these are repeat celebrations to think of fresh things from God pertaining to the subject. And so I want you to understand just today a few important features of a mother. These are some things that came to my mind as I prayed on this subject. Amen. And it is very critical because Paul tells us And we know it's obvious when we look around that no one has their birth except by a mother. If it had not been for mothers, there would be no people. Because that was God's answer when he first created Adam. The first thing that's not good in the Bible deals with that subject. Because even before sin hit, God said it's not good that the man should be alone. And you find that over in the book of Genesis. And his answer to that problem was to create a woman. So the Bible tells us he put Adam in a deep sleep. And he took out a rib out of his body. And he closed up the flesh thereof, and he formed a woman and brought her to the man. And basically that's God's answer for what man needs. And reason being, man had no way to reproduce himself. All the other creatures that God made, he made male and female. But man, there was not a mate found that was suitable for Adam. So God crafted the woman exclusively for that purpose. That she would be able to bear children. Amen? And we all know this here at St. Timothy. Some of y'all who study with us, you've been around a while, we've talked about it. God was also preparing a gateway that he himself could enter into the flesh when the time came, as Paul says to the Galatians in chapter 4, verse 4. He said, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, born under the law, that he might deliver us from the curse of the law. That's an interesting statement. See, in other words, God waited until it was the right time in human history to send forth his son. And his son would be made of a woman. The interesting thing is that he was born of a virgin.
That's right.
See, and that's one of the great truths of the Christian faith, is the fact that Jesus is born of a woman, not a man.
That's right.
And so God knew that already when he wrote the verse that we talked about earlier, that it's not good that the man should be alone. See, because we would have to be eternally separated from God if there was no solution for the problem of sin.
Amen.
And so that's why it comes in the Bible before the sin. There has been no sin in the book of Genesis in chapter 2. Mm-hmm. And God says it's not good that the man should be alone.
Amen.
So that's a special thing when you tune in on that in the Word.
Yes,
and you see, how can there be something not good and sin doesn't happen until chapter 3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you think through it, it gives you a glimpse of what was going on in the Godhead. Because God knew at that time that he was going to have to make a way to take on flesh without taking on the sin that Adam would eventually enter into. So God's always one step ahead of the devil. Aren't you happy about that? Think about that. Stuff going on in our life. Sometimes we don't know, why did I go through a certain thing? Why did it break down this way? Why did it seem like I had to go through a particular thing that was not pleasant? You see what I'm saying? But God knew why you needed to go through that thing. And he has a blessing for you planned all the time.
Yes, he does.
And some stuff we can't see into the future well enough. Y'all know that.
Mm-hmm.
So what we normally do, and I'm just going, y'all don't mind if we talk for a minute. Dude. What we normally do is we worry.
Yes.
We normally worry.
Mm-hmm.
Because, this is a situation I really didn't want to have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do with this? And then we start thinking about what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to work out? How is this going to get fixed?
Mm-hmm.
Because it looks like it's so broke, I can't fix it.
I know that's right.
See what I'm saying? But what I want you to know is if you trust God,
amen.
God knows you exactly as you are.
Mm-hmm.
He knows everything you think, everything you're going to do.
Yes.
And he knows everything that happens.
Right.
Nothing escapes his eye. That's why one part of the Bible says his eye is on the sparrow.
Yes.
See, if he can check and keep take charge of little birds flying around, and the Lord knows there are billions of them.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that's what the songwriter says, his eyes on the sparrow, and
I know
he watches me.
Right.
He watches over me.
Thank you, Lord.
See what I'm saying? So God is always looking over you.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make no difference what you go through.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a plan for whatever it is in your life that seems to be rough and hard to deal with. And he's working. This is the verse you can put with that. Romans 8 and 28.
Right.
Says, for we know that God works all things together for good to them who love God.
Yeah.
See? And to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Yeah.
God is working all things. Even stuff that you wouldn't even want to have to bother with. I'm glad God does some stuff and I don't have to have anything to do with it.
Amen.
Certain stuff we would never do, and we'd be hurting people when you realize it. See, but God handles the rough stuff in life. He takes care of it. And when you're going through it, he knows where you are. What we should remember, as we are saints of God, that God loves us.
Yes.
You know how you know he loves you? He gave his son, Jesus. He prepared that doorway through motherhood, even before the devil caused man to sin.
Yes, he did.
See, that's how God was ahead.
Amen.
In the deal. He was ahead. Mm-hmm. So what you ought to remember is whatever you're going through, God is still ahead.
Yeah. Yeah.
He knows what's going on. He knows what's around the next corner that we don't know anything about.
Right.
And he said, I'm going to work it out, all of it together, for your good and for my glory. Because when we get through, when you come around the corner and find out I got a blessing set up for you.
Amen.
Already that you went through, that was the strength to you for your next trial that you're going to have to go through.
Right.
See, God knows what's up.
Yes, God.
And he loves you anyway. I have to say he loves me anyway, because you know I don't do everything perfectly right. I don't know how. Can we talk? Can we talk? All y'all who's perfect, y'all can stay out of this, just close your ears. But for the rest of us who don't do everything perfectly, we can talk. And you know, you don't try not to do things perfectly. You just look around sometimes and you made a bad choice, bad decision, or some bad thoughts came in your mind. Next thing you know, you're out of whack, and then you think about it, you go, oh my goodness, that's not good. God's not going to be happy with that. But you know what God did? He set a table in the church that represents his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, as it says here, this do as often as you do this in remembrance of me. In other words, come back and remember what I did. And this is the place where we commemorate the cross.
Amen.
Where Jesus Christ was crucified for all of our sins. And when he died on the cross, guess how many of your sins went on the cross?
All of them.
Every sin you ever did, thought about, or ever will do was cast up on Christ.
Amen.
And he died on the cross, shed his blood. A lot of times people see the cross, but they don't get a good explanation of how do I connect what that cross is to me. And the fact is, God allowed his perfect son, who never sinned, to be crucified there on that cross. So that people like me, who don't do everything perfect, you know what I'd like to? I wish I could tell you I do everything perfect. But I don't want to lie in church. I really don't want to lie in the church. So I can't say that. The good news is God already knows that. See, and it's not to say that it's okay. God doesn't okay any of it, because another thing you see at the cross is just how ugly sin is. Sin is so ugly it would take the only person who ever came in the world without sin and mutilate him like they did Jesus. Think about that. The only person came out of a womb by a mother. Y'all wonder how did that have to do with motherhood? God prepared the woman before the sin happened so that she could carry his son when the fullness of time came without transmitting any of Adam's sin to his son.
Amen.
That's deep. Now y'all have to look that up. But all you gotta do is get your books out on gynecology and you'll find out women don't share the bloodstream with the fetus. It doesn't happen. See, that's an anatomical fact. The bloodstream of the child is totally separate than the bloodstream of the mother.
Amen.
That bears the child. God created that when he said it's not good that man should be alone.
Right.
That was before there was any sin. And he knew already that when the fullness of time comes, I'm going to need to send my son all the way out of eternity to come into the world and be born in order to bear the sins of everyone who trusts in him. And he will become the focal point of human history.
Yes.
You know what? He is the focal point of human history.
Amen.
2019 is based on the birth of Jesus Christ. See, when right now it's 2019 years from the birth of Jesus Christ. So he is the focal point of human history. Not just in the USA, but around the planet. And God did that so you would put emphasis upon his son, so you don't just lightly look over him. See, your birth certificate and my birth certificate is based on his birth certificate. Our tombstone, we live so long, will be based on his birth. There'll be a dash in the middle from the time you were born to the time you checked out. So God has made Christ the focal point of human history, and his purpose and his method, let's call it his method of doing this, has to do with important features concerning a mother. And that is the fact that the mother does not add to the bloodstream of the child directly. Her blood and his blood never mix. You know what? I had to check that out. I always tell people, don't believe the preacher. When you get a minute, go home and Google how human birth happens. Or open up a book on maternity and you'll find out that there is no mixture of blood. That's why the placenta is there in the womb and it attaches to the mother's uterus, and the baby's heart beats his own blood back and forth through the placenta, and because his heart rate and his blood pressure and all that is way lower than the mother. Mother's blood pressure would explode a fetus or an embryo. Just bust it all open. 120 PSI is too much for an embryo in the womb. See what I'm saying? We like blowing up a tire, taking a big old thing or a truck tire and blowing up a bicycle tire. Boom! That would just not work. See what I'm saying? So God's design of mothers or women in general was to be able to do that. That's a gift that's built into your body. The separation of the child and the mother in the womb, in utero, as the doctors like to say. And so basically, Solomon going on, let me get to my point here. I don't want to labor too long with that, but I want you to see God made mothers for that reason. Because there will come a day in history when he would desire to take on flesh, which he knew in eternity past, before he made anything. And he planned to come into the world and be crucified on a cross to pay the bill for the sins of whoever believes in him. That's why John 3:16, a verse you do know, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Think about this. And Jesus is God's only begotten son. Adam was the son of God. It says so in the book of Luke chapter 3. But he wasn't begotten. Adam was created. Jesus is the only one that was begotten by God the Holy Spirit. See, and when he begot Jesus in the womb of Mary, he did not take any of Mary's blood, any of Adam's blood. So therefore he was a unique person.
Amen.
Having unique features with a bloodstream that's not contaminated with sin.
Amen.
See that? So when he went to the cross, he was able to shed his blood for your sins and for mine.
Amen.
And not only for yours and mine, but whoever believes in him. That's what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. See that? So our message is universal. It's to the whole world. Everyone in the world, God wants them all to be saved. Now you know what? It's sad not all will be saved, because people will reject the gospel, which is the only way you can not be saved. You have to reject the gospel, say you don't believe it, and then you can continue in unsalvation and being lost. You can continue by rejecting the gospel. But Paul says this. Let me not skip Solomon. This is what I want you to see. As we celebrate Mother's Day, let's examine what the Bible says about motherhood and what some of the things are that God says about the marvelous creation that he made, that to use against the works of the devil. That's why he made the woman the way he did, was to use her. God, the woman is a secret weapon against the devil. And the devil had no idea that that was the case. Did you know you were a secret weapon against the devil, ladies? God used a woman and her anatomy to break the devil down and shoot him down. And he told him too, but he did not get it. The devil didn't get it. In Genesis 3:15, he spoke to the serpent. He said, upon your belly shalt you go, and dust shalt you eat all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise you on the head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The devil said, what? He didn't get it. What?
With all of his head.
See, and he never understood it. When Jesus came in the world, he was doing the acts of God on earth, showing off that he was God in the flesh. What do you mean, preacher? Well, he gave sight to the blind. Folks that were born blind couldn't see, and he gave them sight.
Yes, he did.
Folks who had twisted or messed up limbs and withered hands, he gave it back, made it whole. Anything that sin had done to hurt a human body, he fixed it. He came and spoke to a tornado and said, stop that.
Yeah.
Tornado went, Peace be still, he said to him. A sea, a storm out on the sea. He raised dead people out the grave. A lady was going down the street, woman, a widow. Oh, this is my only son. Having a pity party, he touched the coffin, told her, get up and go home and take care of your mom.
God.
Nobody but God. The old folks at the church I used to go to used to have a song. He says, a man down by the river giving sight to the blind. Y'all probably don't know that one. There's a man by the river giving sight to the blind. Y'all remember that? The news of that went everywhere. All around the world, everybody heard about the man that was down by the river giving sight to the blind. Your doctors today can't give sight to the blind. They don't have a way to do it. They're working on it all the time, but they've never achieved it. Jesus took some spit on the ground and made a spittle of clay and put it on the guy's eye, told him, go to the pool of Siloam and water. And I think he did that because he didn't want him to know, you can see right now, I'm going to leave you blind until you get down there because I don't want you to know who did it. And he got down there and he washed his face in the pool of Siloam and he could see his reflection for the first time in his life. And they came and asked him, who healed you? Who gave you your sight back? So I don't know. He said, I do know I was blind and now I can see. I don't know who did it. And then they asked his parents, was your son blind? Yeah. Well, who gave him his sight? I don't know. Go ask him. He's old enough to answer for himself. And say he's still around. See, so but he recognized Jesus' voice. That's not the point of this message, but I just want you to see the magnitude of who Jesus is. And I say is because he's still alive. After all that they did to him, mutilating him on the cross, he's still alive. He said, I have the keys of death and hell. Behold, I am alive forevermore. So this is what we celebrate when we celebrate Mother's Day. We have to understand that God already knew. He was ahead of everything, and that's why he wrote it in the scripture. He made and used him against the works of the devil, and let us take a moment to consider some things that God may have been thinking as he provided a companion for Adam, who was alone and was not born, but rather created. Adam was created, not born. So let us think just a few moments on this day of celebration about the important features of a mother and how they have impacted each of us in some ways, also all of mankind. If it hadn't been for mothers, nobody would be here. You know, I like to talk to folks who tell you about evolution. They tell you about evolution. I ask them, you ever see it? Do you know anybody without a belly button? You ever seen one? I haven't seen everybody, but I haven't seen any that wasn't born. Everybody I know was born. Who do you know that was not born? I ask the question all the time. I don't know anyone that was not born. You know what? They make you have a record of your birth. You can't function in society unless you have a birth certificate. You know what I mean? Try to get a license and don't have a birth certificate. See what happens to you. You know what I'm saying? Try to do anything and don't have a birth certificate. You got to validate who you are. And everybody I know, and I've been around 62 years, thank God, I've never seen anybody that was not born. My grandfather had been around 82 years when I was a kid. He said he never seen anybody that wasn't born. So as far as I know, everybody I know was born. I didn't see nobody, no monkey go through a conniption and boom, now I'm a man. That didn't happen. Did you ever see that? You know why you didn't see it? Because it didn't happen. It didn't happen, simply as that. And so that's all you have to do. I always like to ask folks who purport evolution, you know anybody in your family was not born? Let you think on that for a minute. So the Solomon here, as he writes, this is what I want to share with you here in just these last few minutes. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.
Amen.
See, if you don't want to learn anything, then that's a problem. You can close your mind and be as ignorant as you want to be. Or you can open your mind and God will feed you and he will teach you. He will give you wisdom and he'll give you knowledge. You know what knowledge, Paul says, puffs up. Sometimes when we know a lot, we get puffed up. Look at me, how much I know. You know, knowledge puffs up. He said, but love edifies. Love is deeper than knowledge. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowledge when it's applied to the glory of God. See, if you use your wisdom, your knowledge, to try to eliminate God, which is what some people do, they want to use their wisdom and say, we know so much that there was a big bang and there was no creator. Oh, you know that much, huh? And I always say to those people, wait till you hear the big bang you're going to get if you don't trust Jesus before you go in that box. You think that was a big bang, you're going to get another one. And I don't want to see you do that. That's why I teach this gospel. But he said that fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, notice this. Hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. He's saying the parents are the ones responsible for nurturing up the next generation.
Amen.
See, we have a great responsibility as parents. You couldn't come here at all without the mother. Be no way. But when you come, stay under the teaching of the family. See, families have gotten in bad trouble. My family was abnormal. I'm just going to go on record here. I guess they were normal compared to the way people's families are. My mom and dad separated when I was a little kid. And I was raised by my father. See, which a lot of times today is just the opposite. The mom and dad are separated and the kids are raised by the mother. And that happens more often than the other way. And so I'm a little different. That's why we tell my wife, you have to forgive me sometime if I act a little strange. Because I was brought up a strange kind of way. See, and I didn't even realize it was strange. When you're kids, you don't realize, oh, this is a little different. Because you don't know. You just don't know. And you don't calculate any of that. You know? But when you have both the mother and the father in your life, then you're getting some influence from the feminine side and some influence from the masculine side. And that's what Solomon is talking about here. And this is a generational thing, which I think we're kind of escaping away from in modern culture for some reason. And I don't get it. I'm sure it's not to our benefit. But God loves us exactly the way we are, no matter what our situation is. He still wants to bless you.
Yeah.
He came into the middle of the human dilemma and did something about the problem. And it's effective. What Jesus did is effective. Now I know all the people sitting around you who trust him will tell you that Jesus is effective.
Yes, he is.
He did something to me and made me a different kind of person than I've ever been.
Hallelujah.
He's still working on me now, putting up with all of my flaws, and he continues to minister to me.
Yes,
he said he would never leave me nor forsake me. So since I have his promise, he said I'm going to be with you to the end of the world. See, And I have that security. Why? Because the Bible tells me so.
Yeah.
Right here it tells me God loves me and he's going to see me through. Whatever kind of thing you're going through, I'm going to see you through. I'm going to take you through.
Yeah.
And when vision and knowledge and all that runs out, grab hold of faith's hand.
Yeah.
And faith is going to take you through.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it. If it's dark and you can't see your way, grab on to faith's hand.
Yeah.
And faith is going to take you through.
It's
going to take you through the dark times, and when you get to the other side, you're going to say, it was nothing but the Lord that brought me through. Nobody but the Lord. But this is what I want you to see. I keep going afield. Let me try to stay on point here. This is what I want you to understand here today, church. You are loved, no matter who you are. And because of the prolific impact of sin on the entire human family, it is nearly impossible to understand the simplicity and magnitude of what God did when he provided a solution for the singleness of Adam, which has been stated to be the first thing in the Bible that God said was not good. We already talked about that. That the man should be alone. which started the process of God creating woman, i.e. the first mother.
Thank you, Lord.
See, the first mother, a mother was God's solution to the problem that Adam had. It's not good that you should be alone. See, and he meant that in an ultimate sense. Think about it this way. God is outside of time. Time doesn't mean a thing to God. The Bible says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. It's like a drop in the bucket compared to where he is, and from his vantage point, 1,000 years is nothing.
Wow.
I told you I'm 62. Oh, that's a drop in the bucket. That's a few seconds on God's clock. You see, but he was thinking about all of us this many generations down from Adam. See, and the passing of the knowledge of God from generation to generation is another thing that he blesses families with, so that they can share the knowledge of God and keep the next generation safe from the kind of foolishness that the devil is planting in the world. So we see that King Solomon, who is the prince of King David, in other words, he was King David's son, saw in the Holy Spirit the intended value of parenting, as he wrote in the Proverbs, which were used for training youth and young people about the things of God, how godly parents passing on the wisdom of God from generation to generation is an integral facet of life which we must be taught, and it must be taught to each child so that their fallen natures learn not to militate against the father or the mother. That's why that's the worst thing that there is, he said, because children who don't learn from the father and the mother, you know who they learn from? The police, the thugs in the street, whoever it is. You learn the hard way if you don't get it at home. See, and so we have to look out for people. Look out for other folks who are in situations that are not what we would say normal. Today, what the world says is, well, that can be any kind of thing. And it's okay. And it's not really the best thing. It's not what God intended. He intended for the knowledge of God to be passed from generation to generation.
Yes.
That's why we sing that song, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah. Because we're passing this knowledge down. It's been coming a long way, all the way from the garden. And so look at what Paul writes to Timothy. Now, there's two different ways that a person can be born. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. That's what he told him. You know, you've been born in the flesh, but you must be born from above in the spirit. So Paul, writing to Timothy, he writes him as a spiritual father. And this is the reason: Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Notice he says, my dearly beloved son. Now Paul had nothing to do with Timothy's mother. At all. He never touched her in a physical way. But he begot Timothy because Timothy came to understand what we have shared here with you today, that Jesus Christ is the one who you look to for salvation. And if you look to him, you will be born again from above. You become a child of God by faith. That's why I told some of the ladies, if you don't have kids, still doesn't mean you're not a mother. You can be a spiritual mother to someone. If you get them into the path of God, have them walking in the truth by sharing the gospel with them, then you become a spiritual mother, and they are begotten again because of you. So there's two different kinds of children: physical children and spiritual children. It's a good thing if they are both one and the same. But if they're not, don't worry about it. In the church, we have all kinds of brothers and sisters. And our relationships in many cases are much closer than they are in family situations. Sometimes you can rely on a brother or sister in the church more than you can a brother and sister in the world, in the family. This blood connected to you. Because God is love, and he knows how to connect you and get you right where he wants you to be. And so he refers to Timothy as his beloved son. And notice this, even though you're my beloved son, you still need grace, mercy, and peace. And we talked about that last week. Who will supply it? From God the Father of Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the supplier of grace, mercy, and peace. Now he says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers. You see that? With a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. He knows Timothy's going through some stuff now that he has confessed faith in Christ. Sometimes that will happen. If you get into the Lord, you may go through some stuff. You know why? Because the enemy hates to see you coming out of his camp and walking in the camp of God with the protection of the Lord around your life. So he may stumble you up some kind of way. He intentionally will try to put stumbling blocks in your way. But don't you worry about it. Keep on walking by faith, because he's going to bring you through. Timothy was brought to the point of tears. And Paul remembers as he writes this letter. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, that which first dwelt in thy grandmother. Look at that. Lois gives her name. And thy mother, Eunice. I am persuaded that is in thee also. So they pass the knowledge of God, the grandmother to the mother, the mother to the child.
Amen.
And that goes on. That's why you always see sets of three in the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because it's going from one generation to the next. Godly knowledge of the truth passing from one generation to the next. Why are we here today? There's a good chance you had some godly influence a generation back, or maybe two generations back. God's going to try to get to you and bring you into his family, whatever it takes. You see, and he loves you. That's why he waits so long to bring judgment to the world. So he says, I know I met your grandmother and your mother, and I'm persuaded you have the same faith they had. So they know about trials and tribulations. Timothy was an unusual guy too. He was not completely Jewish. They had mixed in with the other Gentile people, which are folks who are not Jews. Yeah. And his father was a Gentile.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So that has nothing to do with it. You can be from any nation, kindred, tribe, or tongue of people, and you can be saved.
Yeah.
Now notice this, and we're almost done. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. See, you don't have to worry about it. The devil will come and knock on your door. He will come on your job. He will come wherever you are and try to create havoc in your spiritual situation. You can look for him. He wants to bring you to tears. But God wants to fix it, so you don't have to worry about it. So please remember that the Apostle Paul likewise entreats Timothy, his son in the faith, to recall his godly heritage, which was passed on to him through two generations, his grandmother Lois, as well as his mother Eunice, who too were preparing their youth, in other words, to take a stand in the battles of the godly and to give glory to the God with their life. They wanted, that's the whole thing, live life to the glory of God.
Yes.
See, and maybe you missed a generation. Sometimes that happens. I talk to people all the time. They say, oh, my mother was just an alcoholic, or my father was this or that or the other. You know what? Doesn't make a difference. Pray for them. You accept Christ. Trust your life to Jesus Christ. Realize that he completely satisfies God for us. There's nothing I can do to ever satisfy God. But God knew that already. He knew how pathetic I am. So he gave his son, who was perfect.
Yeah.
Brought him into the world, allowed him to go through all he went through. He came down here, showed off that he was God.
Oh, yes,
he did. That's why people hear about him now. You know, people would like to cancel him out. And you see more and more of an attitude in the world of cancel out Jesus, cancel out the church.
Yeah.
It was getting more and more worse as time goes on.
Yes.
But God has not changed his mind. He has one way of salvation.
One way.
He told the church, we have one order of business in the whole world. That's go into all the world and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So we don't have any other message. Don't need any other message. We don't need any other message. Doesn't make any difference how hostile the world becomes. They will never defeat God at all. Ever. You don't ever have to worry about it. When you are born again in the Spirit of God, you are covered. And the devil, the world, and even your own flesh will try to stop you from the progress God has guaranteed you. But you can continue to walk by faith and not by sight. You will understand that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. No matter what you have to go through, I'm there with you. That's what he said. I'll be with you in trouble.
Always.
No, I am with you always. Even to the end of the world.
Always.
You won't be able to do anything to get me off your case. Once you get me on your case, I'm going to stay on your case. Until it's won. Until the victory is won. So if you're here today, well, I want you to, this is a great day. You know what? I actually got saved on a Mother's Day. When I went back to the church after I'd been out in the world a long time.
Really?
I came to church on Mother's Day because my previous wife at that time took my daughters to church. And they were getting ready for church, buying stuff all week and all that, getting ready to go to church on Mother's Day. And I was sitting at home on the sofa.
I know it.
This had come off of a bad drug situation. He got me out of that, and I said, well, I'm just going to sit on the sofa and drink beer. It's legal. I found out two things. I found out I hate beer, and I really don't like football so much. And I sat there on the sofa, and they were getting up, getting ready, and the Spirit spoke to me, I suppose, because I felt like, you know what, you ought to get your butt up and go to church. And I got up and I went to church. See what I'm saying? When I got there, the pastor preached the word, and he was talking about the last days. I don't even remember what he said, but my soul got lit on fire. I said, I have got to come to the church right now.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know what he said. He was saying something, preaching about the last day. I said, that's it, I'm back in the church. But I had been in the church before. But I got out. And when I saw them coming, I said, I gotta go. And I got back in. I've been in ever since. Never got back out again. Don't ever plan on getting out again. And I'm so happy. It was the best thing I ever did. Was get your butt back in the church where you belong. See, and God made me know that. And since he did, I have never been out of the church again. Don't ever intend to.
I know that's right.
See, so and I had no idea he was going to call me to preach. That was really a big surprise. I'm not going to bother you with that. Say that for Father's sake. But if you're here today, I want to ask everyone to stand, stretch your legs for a minute. If you're here today and you have never given thought to what God has done for you, he loves you just like you are. He knows you, everything about you, but he still loves you just like you are. A lot of people say, hey, you know, when I get myself together, I'm going to join the church. But really, the church is just a hospital for sin-sick sinners like me that need fixing, that's broken, that don't have everything right. And if I come here, he's going to teach me what I need to know.
Yes.
And he's been teaching me. You know what? I'm better. I'm not as bad as I was way back then. And he promised me he's going to get better. Keep on studying in the Word. Keep on praying. Trust me. Go a little further with me next time. Don't give up so quick. And he will turn you around. He knows what he's doing. And he's never against you, no matter what you did or what you're dealing with. You can be dealing with anything. The church is the most universal organism on the planet. People try to get the church a bad name. Oh, we're against this group and that group and the other group. No, we're not. We love all of y'all, no matter who you are. Don't exclude anybody. Everybody is welcome. No matter what you think, Jesus died for you and he got out of the grave. That's how we know what he did was effective. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you. We praise you. We just thank you for the word. We thank you for the mothers that you decided that that would be the way we come in the world. And so, Father, we ask you bless them really, really, really well today, God. And not just today, but every day of the year. Father, we thank you for having the wisdom that you had to design something like that so that you could come into the world to be a savior for everybody who puts their trust in your son. And you allow them to be the focal point of human history so that we all have incredible reason that we should believe in him. You said if we simply believe in him that we will not perish but have everlasting life. You prove that you have the keys to death and hell. And that every other situation that's less than that is easy for you. You can handle anything if you can handle death and the grave. And so, Father, we come to you by faith today. We ask you, let Mother's Day be a day of new birth for somebody under the sound of my voice. If it's a child, help them understand Jesus died and rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And let them be saved right now where they are, Father. And Father, fill them with your spirit. You promised to move in, take up residence in us, Lord, if we trust in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we ask you, do that to everyone who needs you in the room today. Bless them today, God. Let them know you have accepted them as long as they have accepted your son. And Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And we ask this in the name of your son, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory and majesty, dominion and power now and forevermore. And the church said together,
amen.
I hope you got a good word from the message tonight.
Amen.